Civilians evacuating the area, where it's expected to launch an offensive by air, sea and land. Palestinian authorities say more than 2,300 people are now known to have died since last Saturday. Nadia El-Nakla, the wife of Scotland's First Minister Hamza Youssef, says her terrified parents are stuck in Gaza. She's told the SNP conference this feels different to previous fighting there.
Normally, once the death toll would reach a high enough number, the world would ask for restraint. But the number of the deaths are soaring. Mostly children, and Gaza is being turned to rubble.
Meanwhile, the Home Secretary says the police are coming for people who glorified terrorism during a pro-Palestinian march in London yesterday. Suella Braverman says those who mocked the murders of Jewish people will also be looked at. An earthquake in Afghanistan has reportedly killed two people and injured more than 100 others. The tremor hit the western Herat province, where 2,500 people died last week following quakes. The Justice Secretary suggested low-level criminals could be ordered to do chores in the community to ease pressures on prisons, but Alex Chalk says he'll scrap early release for rapists. In sport, Rangers have named Philip Clermont as their new manager. The former Monaco boss arrives at Ibrox to replace Michael Beale, who was sacked earlier this month. Our reporter Gordon Duncan says Clermont's got a tough job ahead.
It's a very unforgiving footballing city, isn't it, where you simply have to keep up with your rival. Celtic are 7 points clear. It is a 3.5-year contract for Philippe Clermont, but in reality he has to come in and try and make an impact quickly.
And in cricket, Afghanistan have set England a target of 285 runs to win their Cricket World Cup match in Delhi. A short time ago, they were 18-1, with opener Johnny Bairstow out. From Sky News, I'm Chris Milligan.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Hello, hello everyone. Vicky Michelle here with my latest pick for Vix Mix on Phoenix 98 FM. And of course, the fabulous Paul Golder is here to twiddle the flashing knobs. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you, Vicky. How are you?
Fabulous as always. Have you been out jogging this week?
I've been out this morning, actually. I had a walk in over the marshes in Bowers and Pitsea, and I had to put my coat on, first time since
it's chilly out there.
The beginning of the year. Yeah. It was 25 degrees last weekend, and today it's 8. Big difference.
It is, but big difference.
It's proper October weather now.
But at least
so
you've been
good.
Exercising.
I did.
That's good. Well done, you. And thanks to Tony for looking forward to working with you again in the future. He had a brilliant show, as always. And do you know what? I've been out and about this week, so as always, there's lots to talk about. But I do love us on a Sunday afternoon coming together. In fact, do you know what I'm going to play?
It could be.
Come Together, the Beatles.
Down to his knee. Got to be a
That was Come Together, the Beatles, 1969. And I'm playing it for what would have been John Lennon's birthday on the 9th of October, and also for his son Sean's birthday, which was also on the 9th of October. So we're discussing it. What are the odds on that?
And I said, birthday. And I said 364-1. And I think you thought I was joking, but yeah, I think that's right.
I'm saying thousands or a million to one. Or
it's one chance that it will be the same birthday in 364-1, which is all the other days of the year.
Okay,
so it's got to be
that. Makes sense. I just thought it'd be zillions. Okay. So, well, I love the Beatles. Well, I love Paul McCartney as well. And I think he's touring. He's got a new show out. That he's touring, is it Australia at the moment?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think Ringo's out in America.
He just don't stop, does he, that guy?
I know.
Just dynamo.
Yeah, and he still looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
But talking about Beatles and bugs, tentative link to bugs.
That's quite a good link.
Did you like it? Thanks. Well, what happened? You sent me a picture of the front cover of the Daily Star.
I did.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, I think it was. And what was on that, Paul?
Well, there was a big picture of you on there, on the front cover, with Gordon Kaye, Rene. Yeah, Rene and Yvette. And you seem to be getting blamed for the bed bug crisis.
They just wanted a photo, and they sort of get out the, like you said, the hello one with me and Gordon. But, like, you know, people are ringing out, still hitting the front page, Vic. And it was in regard to the story about the mutant Parisian bed bugs. It ties in because Madame Fanny's bed was bugged with the flashing knobs. And also, guess what's on tonight?
Is it Hello, Hello?
Correct. Excellent. You're getting good at this, Paul. 4 episodes of Hello, Hello tonight from 8 o'clock on Yesterday Channel. Leclerc Against the Wall. Christmas puddings can go off. That's a good one. Mines Away and All Aboard. Flight to Geneva. All from Series 5. And it's also being shown weekdays on Drama Channel at 6 o'clock. We need to laugh.
There is so much Hello, Hello on TV, though, at the moment, isn't there? It must be... shows how good the programme was that so many years after the event...
You are saying all the right things, Paul. Yeah, and there's major advertising on. So it means that... But, you know, you start flicking through, like, what's on telly, and you go, no. And you just go, I want to laugh. We need to laugh.
Well, you know, these things work. If no one was watching it, they wouldn't put it on, would they?
So this is true.
Obviously, people are watching it.
Yeah. Now it's on 2 channels. Brilliant.
Exactly.
But the story behind the headline of the bed bugs, France grapples with bed bug infestation, causing a worry ahead of Olympic Games next year. Travel companies and hotel owners have been warned to expect an invasion of superbugs discovered in and around Paris. And they are immune to most of the pesticides. But no one can explain why. In fact, shall we play the Who? I can't explain. Can't Explain the Who, 1964, written by Pete Townsend when he was 18 years old and was a UK number 8. And I'm playing it for what would have been bass player John Entwistle's birthday, which would have been on the 9th of October. This was The Who's first official single. They had previously been known under different names, The Detours and High Numbers. But they were renowned for smashing up musical instruments at the end of performances. I know, I used to go and see them, smash everything up. And it was known for the roadies to glue bits of instruments back together again so they could smash them up again, I suppose. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin was a sessions musician at the time this song was recorded and played on this track. Now, not a lot of people know this. But I remember this. At one Who concert in New York, a man jumped on the stage and tried to take the microphone from Roger Daltrey. Daltrey punched him while Pete Townsend kicked him somewhere unmentionable in a bid to stop the interruption, which was characteristically loud. It turned out the man was a plain-clothed policeman trying to warn the band that the grocery store next door was on fire and they needed to evacuate. No one heard the alarms due to the volume of the band. I remember that story. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. And that's like, it's about the only time that you really wanted somebody to stop something
stop
like that,
something,
isn't it? Yeah.
And then beat him up.
I was gonna say it's any time the police were helpful, especially in America, but that's probably a bit controversial.
Yeah, a bit controversial.
That.
Police do a good job. They really do a good job. They're just hands are tied with a lot of things, I think. Anyway, well, there's not enough of them. Okay, The Who has a direct link to the Beatles. Ringo Starr's son, Zach Starkey, has been the band's full-time drummer since 1996. Mm. It's a long time. Ringo only ever gave him one lesson on the drums, but it was Keith Moon, his godfather, who brought him his first drum set at the age of 8. So it was only fitting that he take over the drummer's seat from his uncle Keith. Oh, that is so true. Do you know what we should play next?
I'm
true
guessing.
Spandau Ballet.
Take your seaside arms and write the next line. Oh, I back again.
Was True, Spandau Ballet, 1983. It was UK number one, playing it for singer and guitarist Martin Kemp's birthday, which was on the 10th of October. Martin's founder member of Spandau Ballet, originally formed in 1979, and reformed. They disbanded in 1990 and reformed in 2009. Original lineup was Tony Hadley, Martin and Gary Kemp, Steve Norman and John Keeble. This song went to number one in 21 countries. They were really popular. And the lyrics for this were inspired by crush songwriter Gary Kemp had on actress and singer Claire Grogan at the time.
Oh, we all had a crush on Claire Grogan.
Well, did he go out with her?
I don't know. I don't think so. No.
Okay. But both Martin and Gary have also pursued acting careers. Martin, well known as Steve Owen in EastEnders, but what film did they appear in?
Oh, they were in The Craze, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. That was a great film, actually. Yeah. They were really good in that.
See, I thought they were twins, but they're not twins, are they?
No.
No.
He's got... but their birthdays are close, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Gary's is tomorrow.
So, oh, right, okay.
Yeah, so quite close, yeah, but there's 2 years apart.
Yeah. And but also, oh, yeah, I know the producer who did that. I think it was Dominic Anciano that did The Craze. And he did lots of pop promos before, but went into film and everything, and that was a really successful one for him. But Martin has also done Father Brown, Waterloo Road, and McDonald and Dodds. And he's a regular on Gogglebox with his son Roman.
Yeah.
Roman's done really well, hasn't he?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, he's great. And earlier this year he appeared on Masked Singer with his wife Shirley of Pepsi and Shirley fame. And on stage he played the child catcher in a tour of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, that's a great show.
We should point out, actually, Roman co-presented the breakfast show on Capital for 3 years with Sonny J.
Oh, yeah.
And Sonny J, Capital was his second station, his first station.
Phoenix.
Yeah.
And 98 FM.
And who taught Sonny how to use the desk?
Oh, let me guess. Paul Golder.
It might have been.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Small claim to fame. But after he got the gig with Capital, he came back and said, oh, thanks for everything you've done for us at Phoenix. He goes, you never forget your first, he said. I thought that was nice of him.
Oh, that was really nice. Yeah, I love it really when good. People remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, say thank you. But if they just go and don't do anything, that's mean.
Yeah, happens. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're going to have to teach me how to do this desk.
Oh, yeah, quite easy. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah. I'm not sure you're pretty good at this. Okay, what should I play next? Something sweet? Lady Marmalade, La Belle.
Yeah.
That was Lady Marmalade, La Belle, 1974. And I'm playing it for Nona Hendrix's birthday, which was on the 9th of October. Nona is one third of the soul R&B group La Belle. And she was a distant cousin of who, Paul?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess Jimi Hendrix.
Correct.
big clue there somewhere.
Big clue. Nona sang backing vocals on this with Sarah Dash and caused quite a bit of stir for its lyrics in the 70s, considered quite risque, particularly the line, "Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?" Do you know what it was changed to?
I didn't, actually. What was it changed to?
It was changed to danser or danser.
Danser.
So I said, yeah, it works. Yes. Voulez-vous danser avec moi ce soir?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that risky. I mean, I frequently fall asleep.
What?
You know.
Couché?
Yeah, that's sleep, isn't it?
Will you sleep with me tonight?
Yeah, but I frequently fall asleep. There might be other people in the room. Happens all the time.
My dad said when he was in the army, and I remember he said this was the only phrase he knew in French. I remember him saying that, and we're talking about back in the year, Dot.
I remember being at school and learning French, and there were kids in my class who knew very little French, but they knew that line.
Really?
Yeah, funny that, isn't
it? Yeah. But Patti LaBelle sang lead on this, and when told what the line meant, she replied, "Oh gosh, what will my mother think?"
Depends if her mum can speak French, really, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Well, talking of French, guess what's on tonight?
Oh
no, we've already done that.
I think I was going to get it that time as well.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're playing Hello, Hello, so let's flashback.
I just had a flashback there.
Should we play flashback? Imagination.
Flashback to the days when the nights were young.
That was Flashback Imagination 1982. It was written by Imagination Steve Jolly and Tony Swain. Imagination were Lee John, Ashley Ingram and Errol Kennedy, and they chose their name as a tribute to John Lennon. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. It's interesting. It's nice from Imagine, fact. Yeah.
Yeah. And Errol Kennedy, he used to come to the Heritage events when I was president there. He came to a lot. He was a really lovely bloke. And I've known Lee John for a long while. And what a voice he's got.
Mm.
Brilliant voice. He featured on Homeless Worldwide song, which we did to raise money for the homeless.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother. And I saw him recently before me for a charity, a cancer charity, and he was brilliant. You know, brought the house down.
Mm.
Tony Hadley was there as well, and Lulu. Mm. But Lee John will be touring the UK with his Flashback tour from May 2024. That'd be nice to see.
Mm.
And while we're on the subject of imagination, where do children use their imagination most? In the theatre, would you say?
Oh, I'd say pantomimes.
Correct.
Ah.
Which leads me into a plug for my pantomime.
Excellent.
I'm going to be appearing in Sleeping Beauty from the 15th of December to the 31st of December, playing Carabosse, the evil Carabosse. And there's going to be Twist and Pulse as the henchman, Mike Squeaky McLean as the jester, Gavin Ashbury as the dame, and Jazzy Phoenix as the princess. And she played Nadine in EastEnders. And I'm not too far because it's the Regent Theatre in
Ipswich. That's a good theatre. I've been there a few times. That's a good theatre, that is.
Is it a good theatre?
Yeah.
You coming to see me then?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been practicing though? Your booze.
Oh.
Not booze, not drinking.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Booze. Oh, I'm not going to boo you. Why would I boo you?
Just try one.
You want me to try a boo?
Yeah.
Boo!
Oh, that's really good.
Was
You've got
good?
To come and sit in the front row.
All right, I'm going to boo you then.
Because I like a lot of booze. Okay, let's play a Sam and Dave number. This is Hold On, I'm Coming. That was Hold On, I'm Coming, Sam and Dave, 1966, written by Isaac Hayes and Dave Porter. And I'm playing it for singer Sam Moore's birthday, which was on the 12th of October. Sam and Dave performed together as a duo from 1961 to 1981. And this title, it's a great story, this. The title of this song came about when co-writer Isaac Hayes shouted at Porter to hurry up and get out of the loo, as they needed to work. He was frustrated at the lack of work being done, and enough time had been wasted for one day. Porter replied, "Hang on, man, I'm coming," and rushed out, and hence the title. Do you know who plays tambourine on this track?
I don't know.
Booker T.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really cool. And who is on piano?
No.
Isaac Hayes.
Oh, really?
How good is that?
That's a proper supergroup, that,
that's
isn't it?
That's a supergroup. Great lineup. And it features in the 1980 film of the Blues.
Yeah, I remember
great.
That.
It's a great song. Film. It's a great song. Okay, shall we play a song by The Real Thing this time? Can You Feel the Force? That was Can You Feel the Force? The Real Thing. It was written by Chris Amu and Eddie Amu in 1979 and was a UK number five.
Talking of, I mean, is that about Star Wars, that song? Do we know? Because it's the Force, isn't it? That was like the big thing about Star Wars, doesn't it?
I don't think it was, though, do you?
Oh, okay.
No. But you were going to ask me something, weren't you?
It was like, you keep getting tweets from Mark Hamill.
That's
you?
The first thing he said to me when I came in, when he came in. He went, "You keep getting tweets from Mark Hamill."
You see, I was never a big Star Wars fan. When it came out first time, everyone raved about it, and I wasn't a big fan. I've seen the film since. I've seen the new films, but he's not only a really nice guy, but he's a proper superstar. It's Luke Skywalker.
And he's really lovely because he does reply to some of my tweets, but I think he's on it constantly, or maybe he has someone doing it.
It is him who does it. He's a big Anglophile as well. He's obviously American, but because they filmed all the Star Wars films in Britain, he spent a lot of time in the UK, and he might actually live over here now. I'm not sure, but he knows all about British culture, and he would have seen Hello, Hello and stuff like that. And he's you know what? If he'd replied to one of my tweets, I would mention it to someone in conversation every day of my life.
Well, you mentioned it in conversation to me, and I'm really flattered that he has sent me messages.
Yeah, very cool.
How lovely is that? But back to the real thing. I'm playing it for lead singer Chris Amu's birthday, which was on the 14th of October. It was the band's biggest disco hit, and The Real Thing remained pioneers in soul, funk and dance music. The band has its roots in vocal harmony, evolving from the black a cappella quintet known as The Chants, which was established by Chris's late brother Eddie. And a chance meeting with Paul McCartney at a Little Richard concert led to The Chants performing with the Beatles at the Cavern Club. It just shows
they,
you.
They were from Liverpool, weren't they? Real Thing were from Liverpool, and the other bands would have been as well. So that's why Paul McCartney would have known them.
But I mean, back in the day, who knew what that was going to come to?
I know, it's just crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
But meanwhile, Chris was busy forming his own band, the Sophisticated Soul Brothers. Elements of both bands eventually came together in 72 to form The Real Thing. But do you know where the title for The Real Thing came from? It took a while, this one.
Yeah, you asked me during the song, and I said, no, I don't. And then I click, thought about it. It's got to be Coke.
Coca-Cola.
Isn't it? It's The Real Thing.
It's The Real Thing, which was the 1970s advertising slogan.
Yeah, I've got to bring them up now and ask for some money.
And they're going to be touring. The Real Thing will be touring the UK as of November.
Next month.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Great group. And also, what else is Chris passionate about?
I know about this. Because it's really, really weird. And I've got an extreme knowledge about this as well. Okay. Because he's a dog breeder. And I remember seeing him on, wouldn't have been Nationwide, it was in London Tonight or something. He won Crufts, I think it was 1987.
Yeah, how good are you? I've got it here.
And it was an Afghan hound.
Yeah.
And the name of the dog was called Viscount Grant.
Oh my God, you're really...
Have you got that?
I have got that. I thought, well, he won't know the name.
I knew all of that. That's quite sad.
No, but it's information that people wouldn't really know about, and I think, you know, that was impressive. And he's also a regular judge at the show.
That's right. I think it's because it's so unusual that he's the only person who's won Crufts and had a number one that it's a great bit of trivia, that one. And you remember
he's an ambassador for hounds and a successful breeder of hounds. And in recent years he's turned his attention to the largest breed, which is
Great Dane?
Irish Wolfhounds.
Oh, they're bigger.
Which are considered vulnerable and rare.
Ah.
Ooh, yeah, so I hope he does well with them. They are big.
That's true.
Yeah.
My knowledge of dogs doesn't extend all the way to knowing the size of the dogs from top to bottom.
No. Have you got dogs?
No. I walk my mother-in-law's dog a lot of the times, a Jackapoo.
Jackapoo. My God, what, a Jack Russell and a poodle?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's quite old now, but
lots of poodles. Those poodles get in everywhere.
Yeah, there's lots of poos.
It's always a poo, isn't it?
There is, yeah. Because you get cockapoos as well, and
poos. Have they done puggy poos?
Oh, probably.
Okay, what should we play next? Should we do a national number? Yeah. This is
Peace up, A Town. Yeah. Let's go! Yeah.
get a little VI, put it down on the low key. But you know how I feel. I said, shorty, she was checking up for me. From the game, she was singing in my ear. You would think that she knew me. Decided to cheat. Conversation got heavy. She had me feeling like she's ready to blow.
I'ma melt the cow. Yeah. Forget about game, I'ma spit the truth. I won't stop till I get them in their birthday suit. Yeah, yeah, so give me the rhythm and it'll be off with their clothes. Then bend over to the front and touch your toes. I left the Jag and I took the rolls. If they ain't cutting, then I put them on foot patrol. How you like me now when my pinky's valued over 300,000? Let's drink, you the one to please. Ludacris filled cups like double D. Me and us, what's more when we leave them dead? We want a lady in the street, but a freak in the bed. They say, Sure, got the voice to make your booty go. Take that, rewind it back. Ludacris got the flow to make your booty go. Take that, rewind it back. Lil Jon got the beat to make your booty go.
That was, Usher, 2004, UK number one, and I'm playing it for Usher's birthday, which was on the 14th of October. Usher began singing at the age of 10, joining a local R&B quintet, and he's been referred to as the King of R&B and Mr. Entertainment. And he sang a duet with James Brown at the Grammy Awards in 2005, after which James Brown proclaimed him as the godson of soul. And he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he's currently touring America. I quite like that. I mean, I like that song.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's got a nice beat to
it. A lot of people really like Usher. I mean, he's okay. I'd rather have a photo taken with Chris Amu.
All right, but you've just got one, didn't you?
Tony Smith, who's does the Sunday lunch show before us every single week, has just obviously listening to the show. Thank you, Tony. And Lisa just sent in a picture of a photo of himself with Chris Samui from The Real Thing, which is pretty cool.
They both gets everywhere.
They both got their tongues sticking out as well, so I don't know what was going on.
What's going on?
Thank you, Tony.
Well, who should we blame it on? Let's blame it on the Boogie. Let's play that by the Jacksons. Was Blame It on the Boogie, the Jacksons, 1978, written by Mick Jackson, Dave Jackson and Elmer Crone. It was UK number 8. And I'm playing it for musician Tito Jackson's birthday, which is today, the 15th of October. The song's writer, Mick Jackson, was born in Yorkshire and is no relation to the Jacksons. He wrote the song in the hope that Stevie Wonder would record it, although Mick did record the track himself. And before it could be released, a member of the Jacksons' entourage secretly got hold of the recording and gave it to the Jacksons. The race to release the track became known in the press as the Battle of the Boogie. Not the Battle of the Bulge, the Battle of the Boogie. And the press loved it. One song, two versions, involving two Michael Jacksons. Brilliant. The songs were released within days of each other, with Mick Jackson's being more soulful, but both proved popular in the charts. That's amazing that Mick Jackson could stand his own against Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he had a couple of hits, Mick Jackson. I remember Weekends was another one. You probably know it if you heard it. It's a very disco-y song of that time, you know. It was, yeah, good.
Well, he became a solo blues player, and his latest album is called Under Your Spell.
Oh, still going. Wow.
Yeah. So we'll have to have a look at that. Mm-hmm. Shall we do some shout-outs? Do you want to start?
I will start. Yeah, we have some regulars in. So hello to Trevor Wallett, Peter Oxley, Alan Pell, Clive Gibson, Mike Child, Chris Walkie, Luke Doonan, Parry and Petra CAs, Tom Nestor, CJ Dartnell, Nicky Nickel, Brian Fever, Anthony Blood, Ronald Manker, Durham Leopard, Martin Hollingsworth, Ronnie Walker, P. Dartnell, Zoe Wainwright, Glyn Marston, Andrew Robley, Christopher Woodnut, Nigel Heath, Bobby Rosa, and Steve D. And
do you want me to do a few messages? You've got lots more. Go on, do some more.
So hello to Phil Bell, Stephen Turnbull, Tony Reiser, John Walters, Mickey Avalanche, Matt Butler, Dave White, Andrew Youngman, John Harvey, Michael Robinson, Ken Jeffs, Susie Allison, David Allen, Pete Johnson, John Hughes, Andrew Hemmons, Andy Davis, James Brogan, Jack Graham Picken, David W, Raymond Jukowski, Christopher Carlson, Arthur Orlick, Mark Hunter, Sissy Von Hissey, Harry Cartmill and Peter Lindstrom.
And I've got some messages here. I've got some requests. John George Jumpers for Goalpost says, have a lovely show, Mrs. M and Paul. Can you play Pillow Talk by Sinoa? So we'll try and do that next week for you, John George. And Colin 2401, he says he's got a request of A Picture of You by Joe Brown and the Brothers. I like that one. I'll play that next week. Messages from Man in His Potting Shed. I'll be putting the shed to bed for the winter while listening in. Richard Kelsey, Time to Boo.